Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Advocates for Aging Care. New concept nursing home proposed for Savoy, cottage-based facility would have 120 beds. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Savoy. A new nursing home with a unique model could break ground as soon as this fall, if the project receives the requisite approvals from state officials. Advocates for Aging Care and developer Fayprop, F-A-Y-P-R-O-P, LLC, are proposing to build a skilled nursing facility in Savoy, according to a notice from the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board. The project would include 120 beds and is estimated to cost approximately $26.6 million. If the State Review Board grants a Certificate of Need permit in July, the project would hopefully break ground in early fall, said Advocates for Aging Care Committee Chair Kathy Emanuel. We're hoping to be up and running by the first quarter of 2028, she said. The proposed project site at the northeast corner of West Church Street and South Mattis Avenue is currently listed as agricultural land in county records. According to the project's application with the state, the 73-acre parcel will be subdivided prior to development, with only 10 acres going to the nursing home project. Property owner Daniel Hamelberg has agreed to sell the 10 acres for $400,000, which is $100,000 less than fair market value. The project concept features 10 home-like cottages in a campus residential setting, the applicants wrote. Each cottage would include 12 units, with each unit having its own private room and bathroom and common spaces such as a group dining area, a living area, and outdoor space. Two of the cottages would be located near each other with a rehabilitation area in between, providing therapy to residents who require rehabilitation services. Advocates for Aging Care plans to be the not-for-profit operator for the facility, which has been named the Cottages, Emanuel said. Fayprop, LLC, in addition to being the developer, will own the real estate where the project is located. According to Emanuel, Advocates for Aging Care plans to contract Southern Administrative Services, which is a related entity, Fayprop LLC, to manage the facility. We said we want to be not-for-profit, but we want to have a successful, sustainable operation, Emanuel said. We know that we don't know how to do that, and you do. SAS has more than 20 years of experience operating and supporting skilled nursing facilities, the project application states. It oversees 36 facilities across multiple states, 35 in Arkansas and one in Colorado, providing operational, clinical, and strategic leadership to ensure high-quality care and strong performance. It is the largest operator of greenhouse homes in the United States. It's a nursing home with dignity, and it's what they call person-directed, Emanuel said of the model, which would be implemented at the proposed facility. And in this particular case, they are person-directed by the person who is, wherever possible, receiving the care. She added that Advocates for Aging Care and Southern Administrative Services hope to work with global nonprofit Aging In, one word, aging, and then IN, formerly the Center for Innovation, to implement the greenhouse model, which includes employing certified nurses, nursing assistants, as quote-unquote universal workers. According to the project's application with the state, these staff members take on all care responsibilities for the facility residents, called elders in this model, and organize everything around meeting residents' preferences. This universal worker goes in and provides all the care for that person, Emmanuel said. They wake them up, they get them dressed, they go cook the meal for them, they serve them the meal. Because it's a home-like situation, they can be working in the kitchen, talking to the elder while that elder is sitting there at the kitchen table. When Emmanuel visited a facility that uses the greenhouse model, she asked one of the staff members when breakfast was served. The worker replied that it varied by resident, with one early riser wanting her meal at 6 a.m., while a late sleeper didn't want his until 10 a.m. The high level of direct care and worker familiarity allows for very early identification of changes in condition and timely intervention, the project application stated. In addition to employing at least 56 certified nursing assistants as universal workers, the facility is also projected to hire a minimum of 3 registered nurses, 1 per shift, to provide 24/7 coverage, 9 licensed practical nurses, and 10 therapists, along with various other positions such as leadership and housekeeping staff. Additionally, Advocates for Aging Care plans to work with the University of Illinois faculty and researchers to incorporate technology, research, and clinical training to enhance this care and evaluate the results. Colin Anderson, a health planning consultant with Chicago-based legal firm Ehrenberg, Goen, Davis, and Garmisa, wrote in an email to the State Review Board that Advocates for Aging Care and FAPROP LLC are seeking an expedited review of the permit application on or before the State Review Board's July 21st meeting due to the need for more long-term care, LTC, beds in the county and the seasonality of construction. He noted that the county has lost 463 long-term care beds since 2019 due to the closures of Helia Healthcare, Heartland Healthcare, and the University Rehabilitation Center of CU. Accordingly, the State Board's December 2025 inventory shows a deficit of 310 LTC beds for a county that should have 721 beds, Anderson wrote. The applicants seek to address the access issues associated with this bed shortage as quickly as possible, so they want to ensure groundbreaking and construction can begin prior to the winter season. Advocates for Aging Care's application included several letters of support from various stakeholders, including Carle Foundation Hospital President Elizabeth Angelo. In 2025, the hospital experienced 2,637 avoidable inpatient days due to delays in skilled nursing facility, SNF, placements, Angelo wrote. I anticipate this SNF will be a critical discharge destination for our patients recovering from injury, surgery, or disease, and will have a significant impact in terms of eliminating these avoidable inpatient days, she said. Over the last 12 months, CFH referred 2,068 patients for post-acute care to existing skilled nursing facilities. Many of these patients had to travel large distances to an accepting SNF. The project also received letters of support from Amber Glenn, Memory Care, U of I officials, State Senator Paul Vrachi, Champaign Mayor Deb Finan, OSF Healthcare Parkland, State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, State Senator Chapin Rose, Champaign County Executive Steve Summers, and Savoy Village President John Brown. Emmanuel noted that Rose and Farachi co-host a leadership council that includes Carle Health, OSF, the U of I, Parkland, and the Champaign County Board of Health, and this group has been working with Advocates for Aging Care to help us bring the solution to reality. This leadership council continues to guide us in every decision we're making, she said. Advocates for Aging Care announced in September 2025 that the project had received a $500,000 allocation in the state budget thanks to support from Farachi. Members of the public will be able to provide written and or oral comments on the project's application with the state at a public hearing, which will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. June 9th in the boardroom of the Savoy Municipal Building at 611 North Dunlap Avenue. All written comments on the proposal must be received by July 1st, state officials said. Review board staff will post their findings on the project in a report, which will be posted online on July 7th. Comments in response to these findings must be received before 9 a.m. July 13th. The State Review Board is tentatively scheduled to review the proposed project on July 21st. More information is available at HFSRB, that's hfsrb.illinois.gov. And there are two photographs that accompany this article. One is of a street sign on the corner that says West Church Drive and with the Mattis Avenue sign on top of it. Advocates for Aging Care and Southern Administrative Services are proposing to build a skilled nursing facility in Savoy on part of a parcel of the northeast corner of West Church Street and South Mattis Avenue. That photo was taken by Kathy Reiser for the News Gazette. And the other photo is of a large field and the, nice sunny day, summer day. The caption reads, roughly 10 acres of the 73-acre parcel at the northeast corner of West Church Street and South Mattis Avenue in Savoy would be used for the skilled nursing facility project. That photo is taken by Rob LaCates for the News Gazette. Inside, the state legislature called it a session without a vote on the controversial higher ed funding formula or action on a bill to keep the bears from fleeing for Indiana. We'll get that soon. And on the air, State Representative Chapin Rose, a Republican from Mahomet, joined C.W. Greer at 7:35 a.m. today on the DWS Morning Show. You can head to newsgazette.com to hear the podcast. The next headline reads, a large, colorful photo, front and center of the paper. The caption says, strike up the band. And let's see, it's of a large group of performers in a gymnasium, very colorful, and they're all in different colored marching band uniforms. The photo is taken by Chad Leverins Photography. Here's the caption. Mucca Pazza. That's M-U-C-C-A Pazza, P-A-Z-Z-A. A 28-piece punk marching band will lead the way to Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The 2026-27 season in literal fashion with an outdoor community procession complete with large-scale puppets focused on the center's amphitheater the afternoon of September 3rd, performances by Dr. Nativo, Antibalas, and Funkadesi will follow with local icon DJ Silky closing out the evening's festivities. So that will be the opening celebration for the 26-27 Krannert Center for the Performing Arts season. That's September 3rd. Next up, Rantoolman charged with sexual assault of minor in his home, hearing today on if he'll be held in jail. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A bus driver for Rantoul City Schools, who has been accused of sexually assaulting a minor, made his first appearance in court Monday. Johnny C. McClendon, Jr., 35, of Rantoul, was charged with one count of predatory criminal sexual assault. Champaign County Judge Randy Rosenbaum ordered he be held in jail at least until a further hearing on the matter this morning, though he said it was a unique situation. McClendon has lived in the same place in Rantoul for 15 years, has been steadily employed during that time, and an evaluation determined he would not be a flight risk on pretrial release. However, the victim in this case still resides in his home. Assistant State's Attorney Rachel Bierman said that on May 23rd, a 13-year-old girl who was related to the defendant told her mother that McClendon had been touching her for a long time. The girl and her mother lived with the defendant, starting when she was 11 in 2024. The girl had her own room in the house, which was close to McClendon in the layout. In an interview at the Champaign County Children's Advocacy Center, the alleged victim said that McClendon had engaged in repeated sexual acts with her on a frequent basis between 2024 and 2025, often in his own room. McClendon admitted to investigators that he had stolen underwear from the victim's room and used it to masturbate. McClendon is employed by First Servant, Inc., where he works as a bus driver for the Rantoul School District. However, Rantoul police say no evidence has been found to connect these charges to his work duties, and the case appears to be unrelated from his position. If convicted of predatory criminal sexual assault, McClendon will have to serve a prison sentence of 6 to 80 years. He will return to court this morning for a hearing on whether he will continue to be detained until the resolution of his case. And at the top of the front page of the paper, there's a picture of fans in the stands, and it reads "State Champs." This is outside, lots of fans in a football stadium. Danville Junior DeMario Jackson, Class 2A, 100, 200, 400 meter dash. St. Thomas More Senior, Riley Hogan, Class 1A pole vault, and GCMS Junior Evan Landers Christensen, Class 1A 400 meter dash, finish atop the podium. So there's racers at the very bottom of this photo crossing a finish line. Congratulations to them. That will be covered more in sports. We'll see if we have time for that article later today. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Have a milestone to share? You can always email JROSSOW at CIMG.media. The only bummer about Sunday's celebration of Marjorie Hallwedel's 100th birthday at Lake of the Woods in Mahomet was that family and friends eventually had to leave. She loved being there, loved chatting with everyone, and truly did not want the party to end, her son, Rick Hallwedel, said. Marjorie turned 100 on May 26 and celebrated Sunday with more than 70 loved ones, a resident at Prairie Winds of Urbana. She's been in town since 2018. She grew up in Chicago, graduating from Bowen High. She landed her first job at age 11, working for uncles who catered to factory workers on the city's south side. Later, Marjorie and her father owned and operated Sanger Hall, a restaurant and tavern in Tinley Park. She and her late husband raised 5 children, the oldest dying in 1967 while serving as a U.S. Marine radio man in Vietnam. She has 11 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Marjorie loved turning 100, Rick said. In spite of the limitations imposed by her age, she still maintained her unique brand warmth and her enthusiasm for life. She has always cherished her connections to people and was excited about seeing so many of her dear ones at her party. And there's a photo of her. She looks great, sitting in a chair, and there's a birthday cake that has 100 on it, and she's smiling for the camera. And then there's a larger group photo of everyone that attended. And there's just a lot of people in this hall. And she's sitting at the table, and everybody's surrounding her and smiling for the camera. So congratulations to her. 100. Next up, history. Area history. In 1926, Champaign patrolman Leo Hanley arrested 13 university students participating in a late-night inter-exam paddling festival in the rear of Illini Hall. They pleaded guilty to charges of disorderly conduct and paid small fines. Patrolman Hanley, who found seniors attempting to administer corporal punishment to freshmen, was responding to complaints from neighbors whose sleep was disturbed by the revelers' noise. In 1976, director of the U of I Institute of Aviation, Ralph Flexman, warned that the U of I Willard Airport lacks crucial infrastructure for growth. This was 1976. Shortcomings include no new runways, poor airport maintenance equipment, a deteriorating access road, cracking runways, an inadequate fuel farm, and a general lack of funds. Airport funding is currently 75% federal, with the state contributing the rest. In international history, today's highlight: on June 2, 1953, Queen Elizabeth II was crowned at age 27 at a ceremony in London's Westminster Abbey, 16 months after the death of her father, King George VI. On this date in 1886, 49-year-old President Grover Cleveland, 49, became the first president to get married in the White House, wedding 21-year-old Frances Folsom. In 1924, Congress passed and President Calvin Coolidge signed the Indian Citizenship Act, a measure guaranteeing full American citizenship for all Native Americans born within U.S. territorial limits. In 1941, baseball's Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, died in New York of the degenerative disease amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 37. In 1966, U.S. space probe Surveyor 1 landed on the moon and began transmitting detailed photographs of the lunar surface. And next up, let's look at the weather forecast over the next few days. Should be very nice. Today, 79, sunny, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high is 81, the low is 54, sunny, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, the high is 85, the low is 57, partly cloudy. Friday, the high is 84, the low is 63. And Saturday, finally some rain. The high will be 85, the low is 66. Mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The next headline reads: Danville Fire Department, no one hurt, one displaced in weekend house fires. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey and is based out of Danville. You can reach Jennifer by email at jbaily@newsgazette.com. Crews responded to two house fires in an 18-hour span on Saturday in Danville that left one resident displaced but no one injured. According to a release from the department, firefighters were called to the first blaze at 12:05 a.m. Saturday in the 0 to 100 block of South Virginia Avenue. Crews were delayed by a train blocking their route and had to take a backup route to reach the scene. Upon arrival, they found a two-story house believed to be abandoned with heavy fire and smoke. Due to the intensity of the fire, they initially focused on protecting nearby neighboring homes. Firefighters used hand lines and an aerial stream from a truck to fight the blaze and prevent its spread. They also removed plywood used to board up doorways and windows to gain access to put out flames in hard-to-reach areas. Crews worked for several hours to contain the fire and protect neighboring properties. Due to the significant damage, an excavator was ordered to the scene to safely demolish the remaining portions of the building. Firefighters continued suppression operations during the demolition process, extinguishing hidden fire and remaining hotspots. The fire was declared under control and crews remained on scene until about 3:58 a.m. No civilian or firefighter injuries were reported. The structure was determined to be a total loss. The residence was believed to be abandoned, with no active gas, electric, or water services. The estimated loss is approximately $15,000. The Danville Fire Department was assisted by Ameren Illinois, the Danville Police Department, and AMT Ambulance Service. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact Fire Captain Ryan Allison at 217-431-2350. About 18 hours later, firefighters were called to the second blaze at 6:06 p.m. in the 1200 block of Moore Street. Upon arrival, they encountered heavy smoke and fire coming from an enclosed rear porch and kitchen area. The homeowner had gotten out safely before they arrived. Crews initiated a coordinated attack, including multiple hose lines, then entered the home to further tamp down the flames and check for more hot spots. During the investigation, the homeowner told firefighters he had been preparing food on the stove while attending to household chores. After noticing an unusual odor and hearing a smoke alarm, he discovered a fire on the stove. He said he tried to put it out and turn on the stove, but conditions rapidly deteriorated, forcing him to evacuate and seek help from a neighbor who called 911. The homeowner reported minor discomfort related to smoke exposure and was elevated by AMT ambulance personnel at the scene. He declined further medical treatment. The fire department estimated damage to the home at $40,000. The American Red Cross was notified and said it would be contacting the homeowner to assist with temporary housing and other immediate needs. The cause was determined to be accidental and related to oil on the stove. And there's two photos of each residence. One as the fire is still going, and the other one is and at night, and the other one is during the day, and there's firemen there and hosing down the house, and there's mostly smoke. The fire has ceased, I believe. The caption reads, "On Saturday, Danville firefighters worked on blazes at houses in the 0 to 100 block of South Virginia Avenue and the 1200 block of Moore Street," and those photos are provided. As a quick note, this story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you're not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. And there's also a follow-up to the story on the potential new nursing home or nursing facility in Savoy. Carl Foundation Hospital skilled nursing facility referrals from April 1st, 2025 to March 31st, 2026. And there's a list of all the places where people can go and the number of total beds in our community. There are at least, I think, 20 facilities listed with a total of 2,068 beds. The next headline reads, as a quick reminder, corrections. The News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and clarifications for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217-351-5252. That's the newsroom. Again, that's 217-351-5252. Then press 6 to reach the newsroom. And as a quick reminder, the News Gazette is a daily newspaper operated by Central Illinois Multimedia Group, or CIMG, Post Office Box 677, Champaign, Illinois, 61824-0677. Jim Rosso is the Vice President of News. Jeff D'Alessio is the editor. And Nico Dugan is the Managing Editor. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. It's always a pleasure to read with you, and I'll be back shortly with part two of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.